welcome once again to Missionary Aid International or Missionary Enterprises. My name is Pierre Roussel. Today we're doing program number 8, recording number 8, and it's on the same day as recording number 7. It's Sunday, January 19th, 2014. Now we're doing part 3. We just finished doing part 2, and we're doing part 3. And concerning the series, the first series we're doing, concerning your inoculation against deception. So, let's move on. I got a half an hour, and I got a bit to get in, but I don't like to hurry things. I like to take my time. I like to, I believe it's before I went out to Africa last year, or was it when I was out there? The Lord said, don't get caught up with everybody around you, but get caught up with the message. Get caught up with what's on inside of you, what's I've put inside of you. So that's what I try to do, and sometimes I get into my notes and I start going to these little rabbit trails, and they're to bring details and to bring accuracy, more accuracy to the teaching. I believe teaching the Word of God, I'm not going to use the word fun, but I believe teaching the Word of God should be exhilarating. It should be exciting. You know, if serving God is not exciting, we might as well pack up. But God is exciting in the right sense of the word. God is quote unquote fun in the right sense of the word. There's nothing like this new birth. There is just nothing like it. I know, because I lived in the old birth, the first birth, the fallen birth of the first Adam in his fallen state. I lived in that union with him for 31 years, and I've been in this new union now for almost 20 years now, coming up this summer, coming up, August. And I would never trade it for anything else. There's nothing like it, to be born again, to become a new creation, to become a son of God, one of God's sons, not the son of God. One of God's sons. There's nothing like it. And you get to live in heaven with God for eternity. That's probably the best part. And that's going to be a blast. And that's to put it lightly. So, let's get back here to what I just finished with part 2 of this series, Your Inoculation Against Deception. I was finishing off with the whole area of warning. We need to warn people. When they start sowing, meditating, confessing, speaking God's word, they're going to start to become, quote-unquote, criticos. Just want to do a little word study here. The word warn, one of the words, I'm not exhausting things right now. I mean, I'm just kind of going over a little bit some of the words I'm using here, because this is a huge teaching tool. And that's one of my strong giftings in the body is to teach the word accuracy of the knowledge of the truth, which is for everybody. But this word warn, it's the word nuphatio. I hope I pronounced that right. It's literally Strong's number 3560. Very interesting little word. To put in the mind, because it's got the word theo in there, or it's got the word nous in there, and we got the word mind, right? The word nous, Greek word, is the word, English word, mind. We also have the word to caution, also calling attention to. Also has the idea of to reprove gently, to admonish, and also used as a mild rebuke. But in this sense here, the warning is to put in one's mind to caution. is when you begin to inoculate yourself against deception, or I should say maybe once you begin to sow the word, once you begin to meditate the word, speak the word, confess the word. Confessing God's word, homologia, homo, same, logia, comes from the word logos, saying the same thing, but taking it further, saying what God says. We don't want to come in agreement with the world, we don't want to come in agreement with the devil, we don't want to come in agreement with the wrong doctrine, we want to come in agreement with God's word, but taught in right context, right interpretation. So confessing God's word. The Bible is quite a few references to confessing God's word. Holding fast your confession without wavering. Hebrews 10:23. They will become critical. They will become discerning. God wants every one of his children to become discerning, to become critical, criticos. He does. It's part of your inoculation against deception. It's part of your protection against deception. That's one of the words for inoculation. I'm not going to get into it today. That's for next week. But it's part of it. We could have called this your protection against deception. Very interesting. And I don't take credit for any of this. The Lord gave me this, and I give him all the glory. And so when you begin to have the word sown in you as a seed, Luke 8:11, the seed has images. The word of God has images. You're going to start seeing things you've never seen before inside of you. And that's going to cause you to become discerning. That's going to cause you to become criticos in the right sense of the word. Critical. And each and one of you who give yourself over to this, as I said, it's a warning to make sure that no one, I don't care who it is, no one will try to convince you that you're in sin. And we're going to get into this in this teaching today. Some of the things that have been said, not everywhere, but in many places, even charismatic churches, that we're not supposed to be critical. Well, no, we're not in the wrong sense of the word. But we need a lot more people walking in this criticos today, more than ever before. But it's always been made available. They certainly could have used it more in the Dark Ages, that's for sure. In the Middle Ages and the Enlightenment and all that. You know, this warning I mentioned briefly here. The Bible, the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, from cover to cover, is full of warnings. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not so obvious. I'm starting to see a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things over the years, but especially when you get into the Greek and the grammar. And of course, I'm more into the Greek more than the Hebrew because I'm more into the New Testament because of the new creation, all that. But the word warning is not always used. But even if you get into this whole realm of imperatives, in the present tense, many times it's a warning, a command. When God commands you to do something, it implies warning to it. It really does. The first warning, basically, that we find, we have to go back to the book of beginnings, Genesis, the first warning that God gave man, his man. Genesis 2, 15 to 17. The warning is more in verse 17, but I'm going to read the whole thing. The three verses are the Amplified, of course. There's so much in this. And it's just so much. We're having a great time this morning putting this thing together, and it's like, it's endless. It's bottomless. It's exhaustless. I believe it was the Lord who told Gary that his word is like a tapestry. It really is. I mean, the more I study God's word, the more I seek him, the more I spend time with him, the more I pray in tongues and meditate his word. My goodness, he just puts verses together for me. It's amazing. He is amazing. If the word is amazing, God is amazing. Because God is his word. God is the word. The word is God. Verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, or man, the first Adam. Now, of course, back then, there's no any indication of a second Adam, but that came later. And put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. I can preach on that right there. To guard, to protect the garden. Boy, we need to protect our gardens. Once we start growing trees, new trees. And I've got a whole teaching on that. Verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, the first Adam, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. Every tree. The tree of life. You know, some say, I wouldn't have done what Adam did. My parents' cousin, she just passed away last year. She was 90-something. And I visited her a few years ago. She was Catholic, but I'm pretty sure she was born again. And I went to visit her when I went up north. And she was living in a retirement home. And we got talking about theology. And she said, I wonder if we would have done the same thing that Adam did, if we would have been there. I said, oh. And I grabbed her hand. I said, you know what? We were there. We did it. It wasn't just Adam. We're in union with the first Adam. We were there. It's not that I would have done different, or yes, I would have done the same thing. No, we were there in him, in his loins. And that went right over. I'll tell you, I looked at her and she's like, she couldn't fathom that. She had never heard that before. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I believe that's the first warning. He shall surely die. Die. How? What kind of death? Well, don't have time to get into all the details. But we know in Romans 5:12 talks about through one man's disobedience there, sin came, entered into the world, and because of the sin, death. So what kind of death? Well, basically, it's spirit, soul, and body. That's all it is. It's physical death, it's emotional death, it's spiritual death. Eternally separate from God. It's anything that has to do with the soul that does not line up with the will of God. That's a type of death. Disease, sickness, all those things, it's a type of death, obviously, you know. And, of course, we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Adam died, he died spirit, soul, and body. I know he did. He didn't die physically right away, but he did die eventually. And I know for a fact that it was not God's will for man to die physically. God had made man to die, to live eternally in a state of uprightness, in the state of being in God's image. So that's the first warning. So yes, there's a warning to sowing the word. Because once you do sow the word, you will begin to see things you've never seen before. And that's where you will become criticos. Because you're going to start giving voice to what you're seeing. Inwardly seeing. You're going to start seeing things that are wrong. You're going to start hearing things. And you're just going to say, you know what, that's wrong. I don't know why I think that's wrong. It's just, it's wrong. It's wrong. And that's the word working in you. It's also with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. I wrote here that many in the body. The word body is the word soma in the Greek. Many in the body of Christ. Many. Not all, but many. In the church. The church, the Greek, the ecclesia, have no discernment. No discernment. No discernment over what? No discernment whatsoever regarding truth versus error. No discernment. And if you've got no discernment, you're gullible. Regarding truth. The word truth, in the Greek, it's aletheia. One of the words for the word deception or error is the word planos, plain. The church, the body of Christ, the soma of Christ, the ecclesia, of Christ. Ecclesia, Strong's number 15777. The church are calling out a religious congregation as an assembly, a community of the saints, the holy ones. That's what that word, English word, saint, if you look it up in the Greek, holy ones, set apart ones. Regarding no discernment, regarding what? Truth, aletheia. Versus deception. Plain. Aletheia. Strong's number 225. One of the best definitions. One of the best definitions. Is the word reality. According to God, of course. The world has its own truth. But according to God, it's not truth. It's error. Reality. And also translated. Verily. True, truly, not concealed. I like that. God don't conceal nothing. The devil conceals. He conceals himself. God don't conceal himself. That's why God does not like to conceal sin when we sin. He likes to bring it out, expose it, deal with it, so we can move on. And so many other things. Truth. He does not like truth to be concealed. The devil wants to conceal truth with error. You know, I remember this came to me a few years ago. How does the devil stop you from believing in truth? How? How does the devil stop you from believing the truth? By getting you to believe a lie. That's powerful right there. That is so powerful. So that's why we got to make sure what we believe as quote-unquote believers. Also, I like here, the veritable essence of matter. The word veritable has the word verity, verily. And actually, we have the French word, vérité, truth. It's a Latin word. No discernment whatsoever regarding truth, aletheia, versus deception, error, plain. The word plain is one of the big words for deception. It's Strong's number 4106. It's got the idea of deception, deceit, fraudulence, fraud, a straying from orthodoxy. I don't have time to get into that word orthodoxy. Powerful word. Delusion. error. So we need to have discernment. We need to become quote-unquote criticos when it comes to truth versus error versus deception. And that's why it's all part of this series, this teaching called Your Inoculation Against Deception. Simply because the word itself or the word himself is not. This is the problem here. If you don't have the word inside of you, if those words and his words that he gives you, if they remain just words, if they just remain in the Bible, if they just remain on a piece of paper, if they don't become a part of you, they're not going to have any power. And that's what it is here. Simply because the word itself or himself is not in them. In them. In. What is that little word in? I remember when the Lord began to deal with me about my being in Christ. In Christ. When God puts his finger on things, I'll tell you, I pull books out and the word in is actually the word, the Greek word is en, E-N. It's Strong's number 1722. And you can translate in different ways. And literally it has the idea of within. Oneness, one with, in union with, vitally united to, or with. That's all part of that little word in. So, we have no discernment regarding truth versus deception, simply because the word itself, himself, is not in, not in union with, one with. The word is not within us, them, and they themselves are not in the word regarding their soul. Not the spirit, but the soul. And this is found, many references of this, but one of the best ones I've found so far, there's lots of them, but just for sake of time here, is John 15:4-7. And this is not just for the disciples before the cross. This is for believers today. Verse 4, John 15, the Amplified, dwell in me. So when he says dwell in me, who's he talking about? Well, yeah, he's talking about himself. But he's talking about his word. Dwell in my word. He's talking about. And I will dwell in you. You know, I read this in my mom's Bible a couple of years ago, and it really blessed me. And she had written, I told her, I said, are you living up to this? And she goes, oh yeah. I said, okay. She's not, but anyhow. The note was, get into the word until the word gets inside of you. And that really ministered to me because that's about the time when I just really started sowing the word, which is around 2007. And I read it about it at that time. And I said, well, there it is. I missed it for years. I was not in the word until the word got inside of me. You know? So this is what Jesus is saying here. Dwell in me. Dwell in my word. Me equals the word. Me equals the logos. Even the rhemas. And I will dwell in you. Live in me. And I will live in you. My word. Live in my word, and my word will live in you. It's all going back to the sower sow the word. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. My word. He is the word. We covered that. If, verse 7, if you live in me, if, it's a condition, conditional, it's a prerequisite to something, if you live in me, if you live in my word, if you abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, in your cardia. The psyche is part of the cardia because The cardia, the word heart, is used metaphorically for the spirit and the soul. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but that's just the way it is. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. So if the Bible, especially the New Testament, is full of ifs. Now, the word if is used different ways, two different ways. Sometimes it should have been translated since. But in this case, it's the word if, it's conditional. And like I wrote here, did you know that the Bible, God's word, is not only full of warnings, but also full of conditional statements, promises? Like I wrote here, that's a whole other study. If. So since Jesus was and is the Word, John 1:1, and also John 1:14, you can actually say that Jesus himself is Mr. Discernment. He's Mr. Discernment. He's Mr. Criticos. He's Mr. Critical. He is, because he's the Word. You'll never come across somebody more discerning. You will never come across somebody more, quote-unquote, criticos than Jesus himself. Because he is criticos. He is. Because of Hebrews 4:12. And imagine this. Imagine this right now. According to Galatians 4:19, that's one of the first verses God gave me in 2007. I had never really seen it before. And it changed my whole life. It changed my whole life. And it is greatly lacking in the body of Christ. I wrote here, Mr. Criticos wants to form himself in each one of us as God's own children. Because that's what Galatians 4:19 is saying. And he amplified, my little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs until Christ is completely and permanently formed in or within you. Formed within you. Very interesting little word here, form. It's the word morpho. Strong's number 3445, it literally means to fashion, to shape, the adjustment of parts, to conceive. It also has the idea of appearance. When something is being formed, it's starting to appear, right? You know, when the baby is starting to form inside the mother's womb, it's starting to appear. I mean, you know, she's getting a little bit bigger, right? You can't see the baby itself, but you can tell that there's a baby that's being formed in there, in the womb. The word actually form is used in the word transform in Romans 12:2. Transformed. Metamorpho. Or metamor. You get the word metamorphosis. So, Christ, until Christ is completely and permanently formed or molded, the Amplified has, within you. So, like I said, what's going to happen when the word being criticos, Mr. Discern himself, he wants to be formed inside each one of us. What's that going to do? That is a big part of our inoculation against deception. Because it is not God's will for his children to walk in deception. It's not even God's will for the world to walk in deception. But they need to get born again, right? You know, we've been taught for many years in many places, yes, not to be critical, not to be judgmental. And yes, there is truth to all of this. But there is always a but. There just is. There's always a but. The Bible is full of buts. You know, but we got to make sure that we put our butts in the right place. And I'm using the word but in the right way too. So don't take me out of context. Don't go around saying things that I didn't say or did not mean. You know, the word says one thing, but what does it actually mean? A lot of times it's not as clear as some say it is. Because context is everything. I've taught that before. Right interpretation is everything. So, I have more here, but we're going to have to save it. There it is again. But, can't get away from that word, can we? We're going to have to save it for another time. I encourage you to give yourself over to the things that I've shared so far, especially even last week with the headphones and the recorder, all of that, in order to inoculate yourself against deception. I encourage you to share this message with friends, even unbelievers, because there's a lot of people out there that they're actually, God is working on them right now. People are praying for them, and God is working in their lives, drawing them towards His Word, towards the truth, and we need to participate in all that as much as we can. We need to co-labor with God in all of this. So, and this is part of it. And so I thank you once again. I thank you for listening. And we're going to see you next time. So I just, as usual, I just close with what Paul closed in his letters, that God's grace, God's supernatural creative abilities be with you all in Christ. Amen. So be it.